If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the one divine spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Galactic Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is how to shift energy and state of consciousness. How to shift energy and state of consciousness. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and connect with your divine higher potentials, your high self, your divine self, the holy presence that is you. Allow that to fully occupy. Allow that to displace all misperceptions as to who you are and what you are and what your true purpose is. Do you feel those chills washing down your back, over your head? It's like someone is pouring warm energy that just tingles and courses, and almost like warm honey. But it's alive, it's electric. And you know what? That's you. That's your presence. That's you occupying and filling this envelope within time-space, which is but a kiss of love placed upon the face of time-space. You are a place marker of divinity within this cosmic fabric. You are divine. You are whole. You are liberated. You have never, ever, ever left the heart of God. And so, how to shift energy and state of consciousness has very much to do with the attitude with which you approach anything in life. Everything, bear in mind, has only the meaning that you give it. Of itself, all of creation is neutral. If you look at it with the eyes of the mystic, you will find that it is all God and only God. And what is God? God is love. So the entire warp and woof of all existence is but that love. All else is something man has made up and projected and given an interpretation out of a lesser state of consciousness. That state could be one of ignorance and total unconscious sleeping. And so the call is to awaken, and to come forward and walk in that empowered state of one who knows that you are God. Sai Baba has often said that we need to make 5 divine declarations, that if we make them every day with sincerity, that we will awaken from this slumber of dreaming we are humans. And the statements are these: I am God. I am no different than God. I am the Supreme Absolute. I am Being, Awareness, Bliss. I am ever whole and free. Fear or grief can never affect me. And I particularly like the affirmation that's given by the Lord Maitreya, otherwise known as the Christ. And it is this, and you are to say these for yourself, out of your true self. I am the creator of the universe. I am the father and mother of the universe. Everything came from me. Everything shall return to me. Mind, body, spirit are my temples through which I manifest my supreme being and becoming. These are called in Sanskrit Mahavakyas, in other words, great truth statements of a truth that does not change, that has no levels and no differentiation. It simply is that which is. And that which you can hang your hat on, so to speak, that if you could keep that going in your consciousness every time you lapse into a lesser state of limitation or pain or mood making or whatever shenanigans the lower self comes up with, if you could return to that default setting, that I am God. I am indistinguishable from God. As the wave is indistinguishable from the ocean, I live and move and have my being in God. I am divine. I am ever full, whole, holy, and free. These great statements, you see, keep you on the path, keep you correctly oriented so that you don't lose yourself in the world or in temporary and passing states of consciousness. So we are always equipped to handle here and now. Last week we spoke about that in great detail. Here and now is what we can handle. We always have sufficient to handle the moment, whether that is money, energy, resources, help, the wherewithal to get from A to B, whatever it is, what you have at hand is sufficient. Jesus gave the key to that when he took the loaves and the fishes, which seemed at the moment insufficient to meet the hunger of over 5,000 people that had gathered to hear him preach. And what did he do? He took them with confidence and blessed them and began to serve them with full confidence that what was at hand was enough and sufficient. Even though looking at it with the body's eyes, you could say, well, there's only 5 loaves and a few fishes. But he ignored that. And so he gave the biggest key to empowering our moment and recognizing our sufficiency in that moment by taking whatever we have at hand and blessing it and using it with confidence. I learned this, gosh, maybe 30, 40 years ago, when I realized that no matter how much salary I made, after a day had passed, I always ended up with just a small amount in my checking account. How is that? And so I looked at how I approached each paycheck, how I looked at money, and the habit patterns I had cultivated. And I did just the opposite. Whatever it was that was my habitual go-to, I began to do just the opposite. And I took the money that I had, this is going to sound crazy to you, but I took the money, whether it was coins or dollar or checks or dollar bills, And I cleansed them. I cleansed them with a light. I put the dollar bills. And actually, to tell you the truth, I washed them. I washed them under the faucet. And I put them on the stove over the pilot burner, you know, the pilot heat that comes up through the middle of the stove to dry. And I put the checks in Epsom salts. And then, after they were cleansed, and the coins as well, I would wash. After these things had been washed, I would hold them in my hands, hold them up in the air, and consecrate the money to the use of the Lord to establish his kingdom on earth, to foster the works of light, to propagate the kingdom. And I blessed them with an increase so that everything that had been given to me from the clients and the people who had come, who had supplied the money, that they be prospered in all their ways as a blessing for supporting my work. And I did that faithfully for quite a while. Then, of course, as I've told you before, the real key to abundance, to always having your larder filled, so to speak, is to give 10% right off the top of your gross income to God. Again, to further the works of light. And that exercises and activates the principle of seed time and harvest so that you're actually planting a seed that guarantees that you will never lack. And I can promise you that's true because that has been so in my case. So don't look to your job for money. Look to the provision that comes from exercising a higher key here. Sow seed where you would reap harvest. That has to do with what you say, what you believe, what you think, what you come into agreement with, and the physical actions. Everything you say, think, and do is a seed. Think of it as that way. And keep sowing seed that will return a blessing of harvest of what you would have more of. And what you would have more of, begin to use it and give it freely. Give it freely. Because if you go give it with fear or resentment or as a have to, you undermine your own good. It's done unto you as you believe. So that's a big key for your abundance. So we are always equipped to handle here and now, sufficient unto the day is the substance thereof. And you know, we create such unnecessary upset for ourselves when we attempt to handle a situation that is not present, whose time has not come, and may not come for all we know. Because in the work of a light worker, when you are committed to this path, grace will lift a lot of unnecessary karma from you. Also, you often can work out in the night travel upon the inner planes many situations that need not manifest physically. That's why when somebody comes with a negative prophecy, I immediately cancel it. I say, I do not accept that word. I cancel it and render it null and void. I ask for a higher divine outcome here, according to grace. So you can always ask for grace. Grace has been, let's say, your harvest from lifetimes of dedicated service to the light, under all kinds of conditions, under all sorts of masters, spiritual paths and practices. We have adopted probably everyone in the course of our progression in time and space. And there is merit that comes back because of the good that you've done. Sai Baba said to those of us who visited him physically in India that to stay one night at Prashanti Nilayam, his ashram, the place of peace, that you could not possibly have sufficient merit in one lifetime to enable you to have that privilege. So this is cumulative. We spoke about the chalice a few shows back. And the chalice is like the repository. It's the holy grail that carries the sum total of all the beneficent actions, the blessings, the kindness, the goodness that you have bestowed into time-space. So the greatest way to shift your energy and state of consciousness always is to move to the highest state of loving kindness, regardless of what's being said, what's being done, what's being fomented seemingly against you. Respond with respect, with loving kindness, as if this was God Almighty standing before you, which I assure you and promise you as an absolute fact, everyone that you see, think of, all these bodies in the world are inhabited by one divine atmic spirit. So the ruse, the guise, the costuming, the role play is that of an actor. Whoever is interacting with you, know that it's God. And this is just play acting. Trouble is, we've all become method actors and we've totally bought our role. We think we are that, but we're not that. We are the one divine spirit. So don't worry about a thing before its time has come, okay? There's a time and a place for everything. And if you stay in the here and the now, everything gets handled. Well, how do you handle the future? You can't do anything about the future, but you can set in place here and now in an order that will translate and assure a future. Because when the future becomes the now, you are equipped to handle it because you handled here and now. That's the key. Handle here and now with loving devotion to the best of your ability and trust God with everything else. I mean, trust God with everything, but the future. So perhaps the ability that most stands out and can be observed in every initiate or master is their skill in managing their energies. Really, mastership is all about the wielding, the conscious wielding of great divine potencies or energies. And whereas the neophyte will tend to identify with their emotional and mental states and thus judge themselves, the master simply observes emotional and mental states as passing energies. And like an Aikido master, directs them in the direction of their greatest good so that they use everything that would enhance the well-being of whatever they're involved with. Everything they do increases the well-being of the collective whole. And they do that very much as their default intention. So to be a master requires being able to effectively work with and direct energy, always in positive and harmless ways. A true master will never manipulate, coerce, or even tell you what to do, ever. A master will never tell you what to do. And if you're a master, you will never tell another soul what to do. You will give examples. You will give keys. You will offer maybe several suggestions. But you won't say, you must do such and such. Or, you know, so often people take a psychic approach to a master. They want the master to tell them, you know, will I have a mate in this lifetime? Will I meet my twin flame? Will I win the lottery? Will I or should I move to Timbuktu or wherever? You know what I'm saying? A master will not go into those psychic levels. Those are yours to discern and decide for yourself. Do what you want to do, okay? Do what you, in your heart of hearts, want to do. And if it isn't harming anyone, it's just okie dokie with God, okay? So go for it. Follow your heart. Be happy. That's the only thing you need to pay attention to. Does this make me happy? Does this make my heart sing? Does this feel clear and good and clean inside me? Am I in an action that will not create any pain to another being? You know, that's that ahimsa that we have to live in, that harmlessness. So it involves, first of all, mastering our states of consciousness with these ever-changing emotional and mental fluctuations. And emotions have been likened to water because they're always rising up and subsiding. Now they rise and they subside and they go up and down, and they're always in a form of motion and agitation. And the mental state has been likened to air. And those air currents keep shifting, and you don't know where they're going to come or where they're going to go. They're always in fluctuation. So a human emotional states are reflected in nature by flooding. You know, when you're filled with emotions that you haven't capped, you haven't directed, it produces flooding in nature. Look at what we've got on the planet now, and storms and other weather patterns. Because life, all of life, is an interconnected field of energy. Nothing is isolated. Nothing is alone. Nothing is a one-of and a stand-in only. Everything is in a morphogenetic field of unified, etheric connection. That's the etheric level. That is the glue, the connection, the cohesiveness that wields all of these atoms that have, scientifically speaking, vast space between them. It explains why our body is 99.9 and 10% air, space. So the etheric is the substance in which all things are knitted together, welded together, cemented together, glued together, if you will. And thus, whatever we do on one side of the world definitely has an impact on the other side of the world. That's why we're one world, one planet, one people, you know, one family. One universe, one creation, one God. So we are at one at every level with all of life. And the more expanded our awareness becomes, the more we occupy and own responsibility for how we move about, what we do, the effect we have. And the more aware we are, We're very consciously interacting with our environment and reducing the harmful impact, any possible potential harmful impact that our choices may have upon others. So the masterful person takes care to move thoughtfully in a way that leaves a place or situation or relationship better for their having been there. Before taking action, the wise individual will take into account how that will affect every person involved. And you can tell because it won't sit well with your spirit if you're going to take an action that's out of alignment with the highest good. You will feel an energy glitch. Your energy will drop. You will have a check in your spirit, as it's called sometimes, when something is not clear. And you'll learn to say, I can't act on that yet because it doesn't feel totally clear with me. Something's not quite aligned here. So don't let people push you to make a decision that is not congruent in all levels of your being. Don't let the world dictate what you do, or people dictate what you do, or opinions. be the master of your own actions, your own domain, your own state. So, you know, a very common example of a big problem we can create for generations is in the case of a spouse that cheats and enters into an illicit affair, driven by undisciplined lower impulses. And the effect that will have on their respective spouses, their households, children that may be involved, their future, and it sets in place a karmic, or sometimes it's called a generational curse. It sets a karmic pattern in play that sometimes visits generation after generation after generation. This is the case where you have people that have, for example, generation after generation of divorce, or generation after generation of infidelity, or alcoholism, or drug addiction, or whatever you can see as a repetitive pattern. And the only way that can be broken is by you, as a light worker, taking charge and dominion over that and clearing it so that the buck stops with you, the curse stops with you. The generational misfortune and pattern karmically that keeps being revisited down the generations stops with you. And by the word of your mouth, you can cancel and render null and void any further impact upon your family and lineage. You take authority over that in the name, power, and authority of the divine spirit, not out of your ego, not out of your mind. By standing in the truth of your being and saying, this will go no further. This is now canceled. And it's canceled by you not entering into those actions and thus perpetrating the whatever it is any further. And you can just stop. Families that have, for example, a history of suicides or whatever it is. Look if there's a pattern. And let it stop with you. Speak the word for your whole generations, forward and backward in time. Claim them for light. You have that authority as a child of God, as an incarnation of God, as God that is awakening out of the human state of misidentification. So most people, we could say, get into the biggest trouble through giving into the emotional passion of the moment, whether it be of lust, anger, jealousy, greed, impetuosity. In the heat of anger, a person can do things for which they may have to spend the rest of their lives in prison. And there begins another generational misfortune that sometimes is visited, you know, where you have generations of people that have had to go to prison. So let that buck stop with you. Think before you act. Partner with God in every decision that you have to make. Ask for the light, for the highest good, for the best outcome for yourself and everyone involved. Don't just act willy-nilly out of the top of your ego mind. Commit yourself to excellence and accountability in what you put your attention to and lend your energies to and give your life spirit and your body to. So the fundamental training given in any spiritual discipline is initially learning to control one's emotions and to direct one's mind. Here are some ways to direct some common, less than useful states of consciousness. For example, depression. To shift out of a depression requires just simply getting up and moving your body physically. You can't be depressed if you're up in action because your mind and emotions will follow the action of the body, okay? So depression comes usually from being out of harmony with one's present condition and not knowing what to do about it. And that's when you step out of the moment. Because you can always handle and do what's in front of your nose, right? So usually with depression, there's a resistance to what is, the state that you're in, and the judging of one's condition as usually boring. That's part of the depressive state. Why is it boring? Because you're not taking responsibility for moving your body in a way that works for you, that is able to complete something. So another key is to get up and do something, anything. One small task completed, complete something, anything, will begin to shift the energy. And look to what you can do now, right now, and do it. Take the step that's here and now. Generally, part of the depressive state is to close down and withdraw from relating and participating with others. So to break that energy stalemate, call someone. Do just the opposite of what your lower nature would have you give in to, and shift that state. Call someone, meet for dinner, go to a movie, preferably a funny one, or take yourself out. Go take a jog, or take yourself to dinner, or go to a movie yourself. You don't have to have someone with you. But just saying, you know, don't fall for that old ego ruse of closing down, clamming up, and holding up to where you avoid moving and getting out of your rut. People who give in to depression tend to spread their gloom, and it forms a sticky, grayish coating upon the chair they sit in when they're in that mood. It coats the walls, the clothing, the rugs, the furniture. Everything gets slimed, as it were, with this gray gunk. That gray gunk is called ectoplasmic aura, which is exuded every time you're in a negative emotive state or a mental funk. And it can be sensed by people who enter such a person's living quarters. So an initiate or a master always keeps their living space clear energetically. They take responsibility for cleaning up after themselves psychically and energetically, as well as physically. And they take responsibility for the energies they've released. Say, for example, they have a moment of anger or whatever, because we're all you know, we're all subject to these moods. The difference in an average person and a master is that the master can see it coming and get out of the way, redirect the energy, like an Aikido master. Whereas a neophyte will just, you know, host it and court it and identify with it and sit in it, sometimes for lifetimes. And that's just sheer ignorance. So a responsible person will invoke the violet cleansing flame to transmute and clear any negativity. That's what you do. You call the violet cleansing flame. If you can visualize it, cool. Otherwise, you just say it, and it's done. And they will also ask for a column of pure white divine light to fill their living spaces and keep a balance of divinity and clarity and purity going in their home. They'll create a fountain of light and ask angels to help support it and keep it going. And every day they'll call and invoke that column of light and put it down through their bodies and put it down in the center of their rooms and spread it up like a fountain that's flowing. And other ways of clearing ectoplasmic sediment off of furniture in your living quarters is to smudge with sage. Or you can use alcohol and Epsom salts, which is highly flammable, so be very careful. Use it in a wok that you use only for that purpose, and put it in a very large area where there's no danger of it catching fire, and stay with it until it's finished. But that will cleanse your area without leaving any kind of a smoky sediment, which sometimes smudging will do. You can burn white candles or sandalwood and rose or Nag Champa incense. Or you can use aromatherapy or peppermint oils, very good to clear negative energies, or eucalyptus oil. Put it in a little spray bottle with just a few drops and a lot of water, and spray. Spray your room and furniture. These are things that you have to do if you're going to practice spiritual accountability and keep your area clean. If you can use energy, it's better. If you need to use something like smudge or whatever, then use that. Use what works for you. Use what works for you. Also, you can get those Himalayan salt lamps. I have one in every one of my rooms. They do so many things, it's amazing. And they keep your room clear because salt is a purifier. They're good to put in corners because negativity tends to lodge in corners and angles. So, like in Russia, they'll always put an icon in a corner. That's why. And in Feng Shui, they'll always try to put something that rounds that corner so that you, it doesn't collect negative energy. And so use your salt, Himalayan salt lamps. You can get them on Amazon very easily. They're very inexpensive. So it's very important, whenever you're interacting in a relationship with another person, that you stop immediately and go into silence the minute you sense your partner is starting to lose it. Once the pain body is activated, no good will come from that exchange, for the pain body will make that person go totally unconscious, and they're just acting out karmically. So, take responsibility if you're the one that is conscious at that time, and zip it. Don't participate in a triggered karmic pattern. And begin to observe the things that tend to trigger and push the buttons of negativity in your friends. And don't do that. Be kind. That's another way of not causing harm to another, not causing pain. That has to be cleared by God and that person, not you, bringing it to their attention. So whoever is most conscious whenever there is a pain body being triggered needs to be the responsible person to stop, go into silence, and redirect the energy, often with a soft, non-resistant reply. Like somebody yells at you and is starting to get angry, just reply very softly, "Okay, I understand. That's all right. You know, I'm fine with that." And if possible, shift the physical location, or if you have to, just leave the room. But not in a negative or attitude-ridden way. Just, you know, be kind. Be kind. Have compassion for that person that's just in a shrek. Send them the light and pray for them. So always ask for the light to be placed with you and your partner before touching upon any issue that you wish to address and resolve. Be sure that you get the context correct in that timing. And carefully heed the mood and the environment, and pick a time when both of you are rested, nourished, and in a good state. And set some guide rules so that you give feedback when you're starting to feel upset or threatened or it's starting to push buttons. You know, begin to dialogue and understand each other more, openly, without, you know, all the gameplay that people get into. So to activate the spiritual principle, you always invite the divine spirit into any discussion. And in that way, the Christ is present where two or more are gathered in his name. And his name means to say the energy of intention to connect with God and have God be present. So let your attention be to partnering with God, the divine beloved, in every task that you undertake. So to sum up what we've been sharing thus far, to shift out of depression, get up and do something physically, complete something that is present, and take whatever step you can at the moment. Now, if you feel angry, drink cold water and take a walk in the fresh air or jog or work out or do some action to release the energy without involving or making anyone else wrong. Most of all, ask for the light to clear and transmute your upset and to assist you in regaining your center and balance. Clear and transmute your own aura, your own mind, your own space. And it's so simple. You just take a deep breath and ask for the clearance, whatever can be lifted and transmuted and sent back into the nothingness from which it's come, from which it seemed to come. Just let it go. And you can use the violet flame. Just see the violet flame blazing up through and around your aura or the situation or the person, and just see it just transmuting everything. And then just place the white light for the highest good with that situation. And you can use a candle, sage, incense, aromatherapy, spray, whatever, to clear your space. And then play some nice uplifting music to shift the energy. You can sing, you can chant, you can do mantra, you can play a crystal bowl or a Tibetan brass bowl. But bring in a new sound vibration. That really affects the consciousness, so be careful what you listen to. Make it quality. Make everything that you ingest through your senses quality. That helps you in where you're going. So singing, toning, chanting, praying in tongues, thanking God for taking care already and supplying whatever it is you need. Thanking God first is one of the greatest keys to releasing stress, worry, and anxiety. You know, whatever it is you need, thank God for it first, before any evidence of it has manifested. Express your appreciation and gratitude that your needs are always met and you are always provided for. And keep your attention present here and now. Observe, start observing how you always have what you need right now. I see that happen in my life constantly. I'll have just enough of what I need at the moment for whatever it is, whatever it is. And just know that this is a principle. It's not a speculation. It's not a concept. This is an actual spiritual principle. And then when you observe that, the future will be taken care of because it will become here and now, and you'll handle it like you've handled all the other heres and nows. So rigorous exercise, working out, yoga, dance, brisk walking, bicycling, praying out loud, speaking scriptural verses, the biblical promises, all of these things will shift your energy rapidly. And you can speak what the scriptures say about your situation, such as, God supplies all my needs according to his abundance and riches. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things are working together for my good. God goes with me wherever I am. I walk with God in perfect trust. These are the things you tell yourself and your inner child when that little kid inside yourself starts to freak out. So give yourself a break, okay? If you awaken out of sorts in the morning, freaked out, worried, or anxious, don't dwell on it. But get up and have some breakfast. In fact, the first thing you do is have the name of the Lord on your lips. I wake up, the first words usually out of my mouth is Om Sai Ram. It's just my default go-to, Om Sai Ram, which is like saying, Om Lord God. But then you get up and have some breakfast, your coffee, your tea, whatever. Then sit with God and have your quiet time. Read a few passages from a spiritual book you really love. The Bible, A Course in Miracles, the Bhagavad Gita, the Daily Word. And ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you, to fill you, surround you, empower you, guide you, and take charge and command of every atom of that day and all the events of that day. Put them immediately under the governance of the Holy Spirit. And another really great thing is to open a spiritual book at random. I'm amazed at how synchronistic the messages are for me when I do that. The Course in Miracles is great. It's one of the best open at random books you could ever pick up, because just about every word in it is from Christ, and it was inspired by Sai Baba, and it's absolutely loving and true. It just doesn't get into the negative stuff. It's just always affirming and loving and positive. And it's a perfect blend of the Eastern and Western approaches. So it kind of lands there for everybody. And also Sai Baba's books are good for that, or Yogananda, or any of the great masters. So recognize how your immediate, how absolutely present and immediate the response from Spirit always is. And you soon recognize, hopefully, that you're never alone, that you truly live and move and have your being in God all the time, in every place, every condition. You're never alone. And ask for your energies to be cleared by the Christ light, by breathing in the pure light, the pure white light. Breathe it in. Breathe out any upset, any dark sentiments, dark feelings, emotional upset. Breathe in the light, exhale the darkness, and then relax. This is all part of your God time. Journal and write a message to yourself from God. Yeah, go for it. Or you can ask your high self or your spiritual teacher, and then just write, dear, whatever your name is, and just write as if it were directly coming from God. And tell yourself what your high self or spiritual teacher or God wants you to know at this time. I promise you that later, when you reread your journal, you'll be amazed at how accurate and prophetic your message seemingly to yourself was. Because there is a part of us that is always divinely connected, awake, and aware. And who would that be? You. Your true self. The divine Atma that you are. Never sleeps. Always awake. Always aware. Perhaps you don't know that you have three levels of consciousness. Two of them are on loan to you. Okay? They are spirits that come in to hold a particular pattern for any given incarnation. The first one is your basic self. This could be called your body elemental, your physical elemental, and it has the consciousness of usually a child about 4 to 6 years of age. Some are more experienced, and some are less experienced, more innocent. And they are innocent. Their job is to keep you alive, to keep your heart beating, to warn you of danger, and to guard your physical well-being. They also supply the energy. So if your basic self is out of sorts with you, it will tend to undermine and create physical difficulties for you to get your attention. It's like a little sulky kid. So be aware when you have those self-sabotaging patterns. That's usually because your basic self doesn't trust you. You've said too many things that you haven't followed through on. So you need to keep your word, because the basic self looks to you, the conscious self, as God. The conscious self is, you might say, your human personality. And it's the decider and the director of the action. You decide and you direct. But it is not who you truly are as a soul. The soul has a stand-in that kind of holds that soul pattern or purpose for any given lifetime, and that's called the high self. You might say the high self embodies your archetype. You've heard people speak of the archetype. Well, that would be the archetypical self that represents the program that the soul wants to actualize in any given incarnation. It's your higher, better self. both the basic self and the high self are not you, and they will go back to a collective to be utilized by other souls that will need them in another lifetime. So the only one that has a conscious directive in this equation would be your conscious self, heeding the direction of the high self, which is always counseling you in a divine way, and taking care to be a wise, conscious parent, so to speak, and directing your inner child or basic self. So you train your basic self not to fret. The basic self becomes upset and frightened when it feels it has to do something, and you as a conscious self have not given it any direction. It can easily go into overwhelm, and sometimes it'll just erupt in tears or go into a panic attack because it feels overwhelmed by what it cannot handle and doesn't know how to handle or has no direction in the moment. And if this happens, and it usually does when you've allowed yourself consciously to get caught up in worrying about something that is in the future, about which you have no present knowledge and therefore can do nothing whatsoever about it. Because as I've said before, the problem and the solution come back to back. So you can't handle it until it's present. And if you don't communicate that in some way to your inner child, it's just going to act out of great despair. And that's the one that usually freaks you out at night and makes you toss and turn and lose sleep, and you get all agitated mentally and upset. That's and then, you know, you wake up with a gutted, burned out feeling in the morning. That's usually where you've not told the basic self that God has this handled. We can go to sleep now because this is not the time that we need to think about that. Okay? The time has not come for that. And the basic self really, really, really feels that you've taken control when you pray. So praying out loud is one of the best things you can do for your inner child. Remind the basic self often about staying present here and now and trusting God to handle the future. And tell your basic self frequently, 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 we don't have to worry about that now. All we have to do now is eat, or whatever it is that's present in the moment. To have energy, for example, you need to summon it. And you summon it, by calling upon it. If you're tired and you just get in and flop down in your chair or lay on the couch, the spirit sees that you don't need more energy because now you're collapsed in the chair or on the couch, or you've stayed in bed. If, however, you get up and drink some water, have something to eat, move about, you'll get your second wind, and you'll start to summon the energy, and you'll get like those athletes and marathon runners. You know, you'll just find that you have that extra mile that you can go. So you will always, always have the energy to do what God would have you do. Always, always. And your calling and your equipping always match equally. Whatever you're called of God to do, your equipping and your supply and sufficiency will all meet. And you're never given anything you can't handle, ever. Never, never. So your ability will always be sufficient to meet the challenges before you. And where you fall short, the Holy Spirit comes in through grace and bridges you. So whatever you started out with the intention to do from the goodness of your heart in a spirit of service and selfless self-giving, you will always be supported. Always, always. So, just realize that you're not in this life alone. You're not without support. And you got to realize that, you know, this is all a planned obstacle course to test your spiritual mettle and your resourcefulness. And you know what? It's rigged. It's divinely set up. It's rigged. And psych up for your day. Every athlete, every motivational trainer or speaker, every orator, every performer psychs up before their performance. And Tony Robbins, a motivational trainer, has this phenomenal energy. And he's mastered the ability to shift his state of energy in a second. And before he goes on stage, he shifts his energy by loudly affirming with the appropriate physical gestures, yes, yes, yes. And he's off and running. And he seems to be on high octane, like that pink bunny that goes and goes and goes. So I also shift my energy in that way before I speak. But I do it by taking a deep God breath and allowing the Holy Spirit to fill and occupy me fully. And I thus become an empty chalice for God to fill and use. And no matter what state I may be in, or how ill or exhausted or whatever, I'm always filled up by the Holy Spirit when I take that deep God breath and step forward in service. It always happens, and it will for you too. So I hope this has been helpful for you. It was a good talk for me because I've had one of those weeks where I have done everything that I shared with you tonight. And it works. So let's take a deep breath and go out chanting, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. God blessing. God bless you, Adonai.